What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Baseball. We are in week two, I guess technically, right? Week two of the regular season, the MLB season. Lots of baseball going on, lots of baseball to talk about, lots of news to talk about. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow me on Twitter at reverse two R's, two S's, and the show at District BSB. Yeah, you should just change your Twitter handle to at two R's, two S's, just RRSS.
I think you're kind of forcing my hand the last couple intros, but maybe it's a good idea. Yeah, it's kind of a tough ad. I will agree.
It's a cool ad. It's just I have to kind of explain it for the podcast only listeners. It's like it's not just reverse. It's REV. I'm not going to try to spell.
I know. It's like supreme gamer mode with the two R's, two S's.
Yeah, but exactly. Just locked in. What's up, brother?
Doing good. I mean, there was a full week of baseball for the first time, and I just really like that.
it's nice.
Just cool to basically have a game on whenever.
So there's nothing better than, well, okay, take a step back. I work remotely, so there's nothing better than it being like 1:30 on a Wednesday and turning on the TV and there's just baseball on. Yeah, I could just have baseball on. It's awesome. So I definitely have missed that. Just baseball is like it. People are like, oh, baseball's boring. Well, first of all, they're wrong, but second of all, it's like the perfect background thing. Just nothing better than the background thing. If you're like at work or doing something, cooking, whatever, baseball, perfect. There's nothing wrong with baseball.
I completely agree.
Yeah, well, the only thing wrong with baseball is Angel Hernandez, but
He had a fun day today.
yeah, to say the least. Poor Gleyber Torres, latest Angel Hernandez victim. But there's a lot to get to, like we talked about. We're in week two, like I mentioned, but there's like almost a complete 180 with a lot of things from week one to week two. But for more on that, Trey, why don't you take us through?
Nick, we are heading back into three up, three down. This is week two. And I think we're going to start with the Rangers offense because they are up right now. They have the highest WRC plus in baseball at 146 when I wrote this down. I think it's actually higher now because they scored 7 runs yesterday. But they are rolling, and it's all the usual suspects. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Adelis Garcia. Actually, the rookies have gotten off to a slow start, but it really hasn't mattered because this offense is going absolutely nuts, as we kind of expected them to, but it's just kind of nice to see it in practice. But somebody who has been down to start the season was Francisco Lindor. Now, I will start this segment by saying he broke his slump today. Two hits, I think. He had a homer and a double, so good for him. He got out of it. I don't have any doubts that he will be fine, but he, before today, had the lowest batting average qualified of any player in the big leagues at 0.32. So that's pretty rough. But broke that today, so good for him. He should be heading back up. Speaking of ups, our second up, we had a no-hitter early on in 2024. Crazy stuff. And the pitcher who threw it, Ronel Blanco for the Houston Astros, is a really cool story. He was signed as an international free agent at age 22, which is basically, age 30 for an international free agent. They get signed at like 15, 16.
Yeah,
so
it's younger and younger.
Absolutely. And he grinded out the minor leagues. Finally, basically got a spot out of necessity because of some starting pitching injuries, and absolutely dealt with a just absolutely disgusting changeup. I don't know where this guy has been or where this changeup has been, but they found it. And
it's the Astros, man.
Yeah, he went 6 shutty tonight and went 5 2/3 hitless again. So crazy stuff from Blanco. On the negative side for the Astros, though, is our second down, which is just the Astros in general, because they're 2-7 currently. They're playing Sunday Night Baseball right now to my left, and they are currently winning 3-0 in the 8th. So maybe they'll get to their third win. But either way, 3-7, 2-7, 2-8, doesn't matter. That is not Houston baseball. And it's really been their pitching and lack of clutch hitting so far. If you go by just WRC+, they look pretty good, but I think they've only scored the 18th most runs because their clutch hitting has not been quite there. They'll probably be fine, but right now it's not looking so good. They need to step it up. Speaking of ups, we're back to number three, and it's Ryan McMahon, who hit a game-winning grand slam against the Rays the other day. I actually don't remember which day, but it was kind of interesting because the Rockies blew it like big time. The Rays made a huge comeback in the top of the ninth, only for Ryan McMahon to blast one on the first pitch for a walk-off grand slam. I walk-off grand slams are always cool. It's like it doesn't matter if you're down three; those are really cool too. But it's just such an event, a big event, and it was a bomb out there in Colorado. And our final down is the Oakland A's, not because of how they're playing. I mean, yeah, there's that, but also they're moving to Sacramento temporarily.
Yep.
This just came down. They won't have the Coliseum anymore after this season. So for at least 3 years, they will be in a minor league park in Sacramento and kind of just awaiting. They still don't know when they're going to get to Vegas if they end up getting to Vegas. I mean,
Yeah.
everything is kind of up in the air, but they are not renewing at the Coliseum. That was three up, three down. Nick, what did you want to talk about out of those three, out of those
Yeah,
suggestions?
it's well, first of all, the Rangers offense is doing kind of what we expect. I think this was more week one territory, but Evan Carter, one of the rookies you mentioned, slow start. I think he started like 0 for 13, but somehow he scored 5 runs. Like
Yep.
they're just finding
They'll get
ways.
them
That
in.
offense is so good. The Astros, if this was, mid-July and they go through a 2-7 stretch, we're not really talking about it, right? But it's just because of the beginning of the season. You have to remember they have a new manager, and I think he was my pick for AL Manager of the Year, so I don't think that's like necessarily the reason why they're struggling right now, but there's just a transition period, right? So it's just figuring things out. I think they're definitely going to hit their stride. They always do. Every time we think that the Astros are out, they come back. Like, it's what we talked about in the offseason. Until the Astros prove otherwise that they don't belong in these types of conversations, I'm going to assume they're going to be in these types of conversations, so I'm not really pitting the panic meter on the Astros, and I wouldn't if you're an Astros fan.
Just when we
And
think they're out, they pull us back in.
exactly. And if you're an AL West fan, definitely do not count them out either. Definitely get your jabs in when you can, because they're not going to stay down for long. I have no doubt the Astros will be back in playoff contention when the season's all said and done. And then the A's. Listen, we're not going to talk about the A's much this year. I think we can
Yeah.
all kind of agree on that. This sucks. Like, it sucks for baseball. It certainly sucks for A's fans. And this is a whole different conversation we can talk about, maybe All-Star Week or when we don't have so much other stuff to talk about. But it really is a shame that in baseball, it seems like you don't really see it in basketball, you don't really see it in football. In baseball, like, you can just have an owner almost like derail a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be more common across all three major
For
sports,
sure,
but
but
like
like in
MLB's lacking
2024,
behind, yeah, on
right?
that.
The A's are, people won't necessarily agree with this, but they're a historic franchise. Like, that's a really, just historic franchise. Lots of great history, lots of great moments. Yeah, they're not in the top tier of spending. Yeah, they're not as like iconic as the Yankees or Red Sox or whatever. That's not what I'm saying, but like, that team meant something to Oakland, and they're not the only team to have left Oakland. Obviously, the Raiders and the Warriors have left Oakland, so there might be a larger issue there. From my understanding, who knows? The A's tried to stay at the Coliseum for 3 years, and it could have just been Oakland saying, F you, we're not going to do you any favors, you're leaving us, right? I get it from Oakland's side too. But it just sucks that those fans, players, everyone involved is just left in limbo. Like, they're playing in a minor league park, which is just completely unacceptable.
I know, they
Just
don't feel like a real team right now.
entire
It's
yeah, that's basically what it is. Like, entirely unacceptable. You can imagine they're not going to do anything remotely aggressive or substantial to help improve that team, the caliber of play on field. We've seen a mass exodus of anyone worth anything on that team. between your Matt Olson and Matt Chapman and Sean Murphy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, shoot, the Nats played the Phillies today. Christian Pache started for the Phillies. He was like the prize return for in the Matt Olson deal, and the A's released him. So it's just like
Crazy.
it and not saying he's, a world beater, all-star caliber player, but like he's starting for an MLB team. If he's starting for the Phillies, he can certainly start for the A's. Like that's kind of my point. So yeah, this just sucks for the A's. And what's even crazier is they're playing in Sacramento. They're not going by the Sacramento A's or anything. They're just being called the A's and the Athletics.
Yeah, no,
So
no, like city name in
who are we
front.
playing this week? We're playing the Athletic
The A's.
A's.
The
Yeah, like
Athletic A's.
it's just
I like that.
it's such a bad look for baseball, and I feel so bad for their fans.
Yeah, it's the fan. The fans are the it's because they have like there's if you don't really care, you can say that, oh, they haven't showed up to support. But like if you know these fans, they've been beaten down time and time and time again, and they've eventually you're not going to come back after the seventh time that your team trades all your players. I mean, it's just you can only take so much, so it's just a huge bummer for them.
And like I'm a Chargers fan, so obviously I hate the Raiders, but like the Raiders fan base travels well and is very strong, but they're having issues with
Oh
attendance
yeah,
and
they're like
getting their
last in
own fans,
attendance
in
in
Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah, I
Right.
know.
And that had a really good fan base. And A's, it doesn't seem like it because their ballpark was never full, but like they have a good fan base too.
Great fan
It's
base.
just they weren't going to support an owner that doesn't care.
Yeah.
So they're really going to struggle in Vegas, and I can only imagine what happens after that. I mean, when the announcement came down that they're moving to Sacramento, their owner was like, "Yeah, I can't wait to see guys like Aaron Judge hit home runs in the stadium." They're not even
Yeah.
talking about his, their own players. They're talking about other players coming to their park, to their minor league park. Like, it's just unreal that this is actually happening.
Yeah, to conclude this segment, John Fisher is a scumbag.
Absolute.
And I
Absolute
think we can
scumbag.
leave it at
All right. Let's move on to
that.
if you're a California West Coast native, one of the best storylines early in this year, and that is Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is on an absolute tear. I don't have his updated numbers in front of me, but it was like video game numbers doesn't do it justice, just how
You
good
want
of a
him?
start. Yeah, go for it.
415, 538, 902 for a 269 WRC plus. He's got five homers in
269
11 games.
WRC plus. That's
Yeah.
again, video game numbers don't do it justice.
It's
And
insane. He has
if you
1.5 F4 already.
that's even worse, like more insane.
It's crazy.
If you take away the one game I bet on him where he went like 0 for 4, his numbers are even better too.
We
Like
both lost money on that one.
it's just it's insane. Obviously, it's not sustainable, but Mookie Betts,
Not like this, but yeah.
right? Mookie Betts like was almost MVP last year, and Ronald Acuña put up a great year. He deserved MVP. That's not what I'm saying, but like Mookie Betts is really, really, really good, and he's doing it playing a new position. He's doing it playing arguably the hardest position to play,
Yeah, one of
arguably, not
definitely one of
necessarily.
them.
So it's incredible that he's doing this in what his age 30 season or whatever,
31, I
however,
think.
31. He is one of the most impressive baseball players of this generation, and I still don't think he gets enough credit.
Yeah, I was gonna point out, I was gonna do a little bit of comparison to Trout here. I don't think Mookie has been on Trout's level in terms of their full careers. Like Trout's obviously
For sure.
kind of on his own thing, but I think
Trout's the comp, though. For this generation, Trout is the comp.
he is the comp for Mookie because I don't think there's another player that you can really comp to Mookie besides Trout that like in terms of active players.
Especially when
And
you factor in the defensive versatility.
oh
And
yeah.
I think Mookie was a better defense. I'm talking Trout's prime. Like Mookie was better defensively in the outfield than Trout was,
Yeah, I
even though
agree
he
with
didn't
that.
play center.
Yeah, Trout was always like a good but not amazing center fielder, but obviously his skills everywhere else makes it so that yeah, he looks a little bit worse when he's just good at something. Basically what I mean by comping them is for, throughout Trout's 20s, everyone was like, this is the best player in the league and he's a Hall of Famer, and they made it a point to basically say like you have to like you to be aware that you're watching greatness basically. And I feel like we need to have that same pedestal for Mookie Betts. You are witnessing one of the best players to
Yep.
ever play the game in his prime. So don't forget that, because eventually he's not going to be in his prime anymore, and this might not be how great he plays. So just to make sure we're appreciating not only a future Hall of Famer, but one of the best players ever, I think, and when it's all said
I
and
would
done.
agree. I would 100% agree. I've been a huge fan of Mookie Betts for so long. He's my favorite non-national player. He's been that way for a long time. I just can't not root for him. He is so impressive. He's a gift to the game. But speaking of appreciating players, you certainly got to appreciate the pitchers
Oh man.
and appreciate the pitchers while they're pitching. Because in the last week alone, we've had major, major injuries. And obviously, anytime star players go down, it's a detriment to the teams and certainly to the players and whatnot. But it's a detriment to baseball. Like it makes the game, it takes it down a notch. We want to see the best of the best going at each other every single day if we can. But obviously that's not the way sports go and certainly not the way baseball goes. But we're in a mass I guess epidemic. Like the pitcher injuries are just through the roof right now. And you know, there's a lot of discourse on social media about the reasoning why. And I think bits and pieces of every argument is true. I don't
Yeah,
think it's
it's very
all
nuanced.
right. I don't think it's all one thing or all the other. The big one I've seen from, I don't know what the sides are called, but one side is arguing that the pitch clock has increased
Yeah, the
injuries.
Players Association,
Yeah, certainly
specifically.
could be, you know, rushing could be, but I don't really think it makes a huge difference personally. Because you saw some pitchers were quick before the pitch clock was even a thing, you know. The other thing that Tyler Glasnow alluded to a couple of years ago was the lack of sticky stuff. Sticky stuff was kind of this just look the other way thing for so many years, basically the entire history of baseball. And then randomly mid-season, baseball says we're cracking down on it. And then you see Tyler Glasnow himself immediately, you know, tears his UCL and needs Tommy John. And I know people are like those who are purists or whatever. Are anti-sticky stuff. They're like, oh, it shouldn't be in the game. Okay, fine. But at the same time, it was in the game. Whether you liked it or not, whether you realized it or not, it was just very commonplace in the game. And that's how you were taught to pitch. So you take away something that was so commonplace, and now you have a lack of a grip that leads to elbow injuries. It just does, right? Whether it belongs in the game or not, doing it so abruptly created a ripple effect. And you saw that. And then the last thing, which I think probably is the primary or leading factor to these arm injuries, is just people or players throwing harder and teaching velocity and emphasizing velocity. Throwing a baseball or just throwing overhand is not a natural movement. Like, just if you, I'm not a physician, but like if you think about the shape of the body, you know, shoulder caps and all that stuff, like it's just not a natural, you know, motion. Factor in the fact that guys are throwing 100 pitches every outing at, you know, 99 miles an hour, like that adds up, right? And you see increased injuries, right? Players getting Tommy John is much more frequent, and players needing a second Tommy John is much more frequent, or just dealing with nagging injuries. So I think they're all correct, but I think the approach to velocity first is certainly the leading cause, because you're seeing it younger and younger. It's like, how hard do you throw? I mean, I'm a high school coach. I see it all the time where it just people get so caught up in the velocity. They don't care about the pitching, right? They care about the stats, and the players do too, right? It's not just a one-sided thing. Like the players only care about how hard they throw, not how do I make myself a better pitcher? It's just how do I make myself throw harder, right? So it's just like a wholesale systemic issue that sucks. It just really sucks at the end of the day because it leads to so many unnecessary injuries. And you know, some injuries will happen on their own, but like you just look at the numbers, it's crazy how much worse it's been lately. Shane Bieber, Spencer Strider, we haven't gotten news yet, but it is a UCL injury, so we don't know if he needs Tommy John. But that one sucks. Obviously, one of the best pitchers in the National League and in baseball. There's one other one this week that
Yuri Perez.
Yuri Perez, that, yeah, man, and the Marlins tried to be careful with him too,
Yeah,
and
they
he
did.
still needs Tommy John. It's just, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you pretty much nailed it. It's a combination of all these things. It's not one or the other as much as both sides wants you to believe it's one thing. It's never black and white, okay? So it's, you know, the main issue is the velo, is the max effort on every single pitch. Like
Yep.
there's no like when you say there's no pitching, it's more of like they want maximum stuff every pitch. Like it doesn't like maximum spin, maximum velo every time. And in fairness to the players, that's what gets them paid. The
Yep.
teams are looking for
100%.
stuff. They're not
100%.
looking for a guy who throws 89, okay? They're looking for the guy who throws 99, because then they're like, okay, if you throw 99, maybe we can get your location just good enough to where
Yep.
you can get swing and miss. And that's how it works. Like Spencer Strider, he throws max effort on every pitch, and he's been doing that for years now. He got paid. He got like a $75 million extension for that. So like, of course, guys are gonna look to maximize their velocity and spin and all this, because that's what teams are looking for. The only way
Right.
it changes is if teams collectively decide that they want command guys who don't throw max effort on every pitch all of a sudden collectively, and they're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
So the pitch clock, you know, maybe could have accelerated some of this, but in reality, it's probably more of like 10% pitch clock and like, you know, I think what you said about the grip as well is important. The ball nowadays is like a cue ball in Major League Baseball. Like players have said that, like it's very, the seams are not very pronounced. So maybe a change to the ball, maybe some elevating the seams a little bit more to give guys a better grip without sticky stuff, could be something they consider. But in reality, it's mostly about guys trying to, you know, reach their maximum potential that their bodies can even allow, and then eventually they break down because their body can't handle it for so many pitches in a
Yep.
row. And so I don't really know how this gets solved, if I'm being honest. I don't know if it's going to change anytime soon, because guys know that stuff gets them their job. They get their job based on their stuff.
To be honest, I don't think it does.
It probably doesn't change much, I don't think.
I think,
Maybe the pitch clock gets you
yeah, there
know,
might be
expanded a little
tweaks.
bit.
Yeah, there might be tweaks, but I don't like the actual injury issue. I don't think gets resolved. I
Yeah,
think
I really don't either.
from the team's perspective, they're like, oh, well, now we can use this so contracts don't get so high or so expensive. We can use this and just bank on the science, right? Getting better, the recovery times getting shorter, which they
Yeah.
have, right? Tommy John used to knock you up for 2 years, and now we see it getting closer to 1 year. And
Some
obviously,
guys come back way early, and
right,
it's
it's a case by
crazy.
case basis for sure, but like the medicine has advanced, like there's no denying that, and it in all likelihood will continue to advance, you know?
And both sides benefit from it too. Like
Yeah.
the players don't want this. I mean, they might want it to change, but it's not gonna change league wide. So they're gonna continue to push to try and find the stuff that gets them paid. And
Yeah.
it's gonna be a revolving door, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. And again, even when you're careful, right, and take rest, and teams try to be careful, especially with their young arms, it still might not work out, just like Yuri Perez. But that being said, the Marlins are not off
Yeah, that's
the
not their
hook.
only issue.
Yeah, the Marlins suck, right? Just shifting gears. The Marlins suck. I have no sympathy for the Marlins, division
Neither.
rival, but like if I had to rank the division rivals 1 through 4, they would always be 4. They've never been higher than 4. So I don't really care about the Marlins. Also the Nats suck right now too, so it's like whatever. But also when you have a trailblazer GM in Kim Ng who gets you out of the gutter, gets you a playoff berth,
With
and
nothing.
with nothing, with no support for her, and then you try to demote her. And of course she resigns because she has respect for herself, and as she should. Like it just I don't have the words for how despicable that franchise is.
Yeah.
So I no sympathy. I'm glad, I guess, they won today. I'm glad
They
they're
did. They finally
struggling.
won today.
Yeah, they were 0-9. I wish they were 0-162. But yeah, they're really bad right now, and it wouldn't be news if they didn't make the playoffs last year. But they were a playoff team last year, and people forget, but they're really bad this year.
Yeah, and I predicted a regression for this team, but I was not expecting it to be this hard or this fast. But yeah, they started 0-9. That's bad. That's like the worst start for any team since like 2013 or something. So they're now 1-9, and I found it funny that even though they won today, they get to the bottom of the ninth against St. Louis, and there's a rain delay for like an hour and a half. So even the baseball gods
They're
were
like,
delaying
please,
that.
we're gonna delay this first win if we can
Yeah,
help it.
but this is the beginning of Kim Ang's revenge. We're seeing it,
Revenge tour.
and when they inevitably trade all of these guys that they have, like Josh Bell and Jake Berger, who are I think both on 1 year deals, they should be thanking her because they'll probably get a decent return for players that they got because Kim Ang traded for them last year.
I
It's a whole
think,
it's a bummer, but like. At the end of the day, I think everybody in the sport is aware that Kim Ang made this team what they were and that it was a bad decision to try and demote her. So at least there's not really much, Marlins ownership defenders out there. I can't say that I've seen
I
many
think
of
everyone's
them.
on the same page.
Yeah, so.
I think Berger has a couple years of team control. When they traded for him last year, I'm pretty sure he had 4 years. So I would assume he has 2 years after this year.
Okay. Yeah, well, he's gonna get moved because they're not gonna pay him. Like,
That and I will bet anything Luis Arraez gets moved.
yeah, and Josh Bell.
Yeah, definitely Josh Bell because he's
Yeah.
on an expiring deal, but I would bet anything Luis Arraez gets moved.
Yeah, especially because they have had so many pitching injuries, they are probably already looking towards a tank for this season.
Yeah, I mean that's their default is a tank.
I know. So it's like just back to normal.
Yeah, status quo for the Marlins. Speaking of teams that I don't think it was an intentional tank, but a necessary one after competitive years in the early 2010s, really uncompetitive years in the late 2010s. Now both teams looking up, and that is both the Royals and Tigers. Obviously, you and I had talked during the offseason, big fans of what the Royals were doing in terms of offseason acquisitions, spending, obviously extending Bobby Witt to the deal he got. And even early results show he's underpaid, which
Oh my goodness, he's
is
going nuts.
crazy. Yeah, he's nuts. My top three MVP pick for Bobby Witt is looking phenomenal right now.
Yeah, definitely.
But and then on the Tiger side, not as active in free agency, but made some nice moves, and also just like one of the more under the radar teams because again, AJ Hinch is a really good manager. But both teams kind of led are being led by their pitching right now. Obviously, Cole Ragans, Tarek Skubal at the top of both rotations, and then some quality arms behind them. You kind of gotta like what both team like the. Trajectory both teams are heading in. It might not be this year, but if we're doing our 2025, which seems like a fake year, 2025 season previews, I could see legitimate arguments for both teams being division contender, like division title contenders, because of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and honestly, we could make this AL Central pitching instead of just, I mean, the Guardians, they haven't had a, they none of them have had like a super tough schedule, to be honest. But
Well, it's the AL Central.
yeah, as I was about to say, both teams played the White Sox, so that should tell you. But Cleveland and Minnesota are pitching well, and even Chicago is like average
A
pitching right
crotch
now.
rocket, man.
Yeah, no, yeah, Garrett Crochet is legit, so they at least have that. And our friend Eric Fetty looks kind of good for
Cy
the
Young
White
Award
Sox.
winner, Eric
He
Fetty.
whatever they got him throwing a splitter, and he probably figured that out last year in the KBO, and it is disgusting. I'm gonna be honest with you. So good luck for him. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the Royals because of their free agent moves. Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo have been as advertised. They're gonna get you six innings, and
Exactly what they needed.
they're gonna give you a quality start, and that's what they needed. To keep them in games, and that's what they've done so far. And Ragans has been great, but also Brady Singer has been great. And Brady Singer's always been an interesting guy to me. And I think a lot of people, because they've seen the stuff and how much his pitches move, and if he could ever just put it all together, he could be so good. And right now he's putting it together. It's obviously still early, but He's been really impressive. And then on the Tiger side of things, their bullpen has been nails. And I really think they got a pitching lab in Detroit because some of these dudes that you won't even know are throwing some wicked stuff. And maybe we should have been more aware because Jason Foley is disgusting. He is their closer and he's throwing 101 mile an hour sinker, striking out Luis Robert to end games. I'm just saying that's we needed to be more aware. I needed to be more aware. Okay, I'll be honest with you. Tyler Holton has been unbelievable as a young pitcher for them. He threw 85 innings last year out of the bullpen. That's a lot with like a 2 ERA. He's right back at it this year. Alex Lang is good. Will Vest is solid. He's got some nasty stuff. So they're doing something there. I think their offense is still not good enough to contend for a playoff spot yet.
I would
But
agree.
I think what you said, both of these teams for next year, for potential wild card spots or maybe a division title, watch out.
I really like what both teams are doing. I think on the Tiger side, they need that franchise guy. And that's way, way easier said than done, obviously. But the Royals, Bobby Witt is the name.
He's that guy.
He's that guy. Even Cole Ragans, right? He's emerging. And Tarek Skubal can be that guy in the rotation. Now they need that position player. Obviously, Torkelson, I think he's getting better. I don't know that he'll ever be that 101 draft pick pedigree or like status, like the Adley Rutschman of the world, but I think he's getting better. Javi Baez obviously didn't work out. So now where does that next guy come from? Is it someone already in the organization? Is it someone they're about to draft? Is it someone they already drafted? So I think that's what re is it a free agent signing? Do they go back to the well and kind of punt on the Javi Baez deal and try again? I could see them doing that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they obviously how they perform this year, but how they respond to their performance this year. Because you look at the Royals, they were terrible last year, and they sort of, by royal standards, went all in, and that's
They
cool. I
definitely,
like
by
that.
royal standards, they definitely went all
I
in.
like that. So we'll see how they respond to this year as well, especially in that division, it seemingly being a little bit more wide open than the others. I mean, the Twins right now, not great. Right, but that's kind of the Twins' motto. They've never been the most dominant team in their division. They've just been the best of the bunch,
The Guardians
and
are actually playing really well. It's
they
just
are.
I'm it's not I don't think it'll
It's
last.
not going to be sustainable.
But they're like, yeah, especially man, Bieber
We'll
going
see.
out
I
really
mean, that
hurts them
Royal
too.
did I think I had the Royals finishing second, right?
Yeah, we
I
both
said
did.
that last year, or sorry, last episode. Yeah, we'll see. Like it could be a little bit of a surprise coming out of the AL Central this year.
Could
So,
be, yeah. It's definitely a toss-up. It's a fun division because they're all somewhat close. I mean, the White Sox are kind of terrible, but like everybody else is totally in this thing. So should be fun.
absolutely. All right. So that kind of wraps this episode. Obviously, a lot to get to, a lot we still didn't get to, but we're going to get more data, more sample size before we tackle some of the other stories, but just wanted to get to the top news that was going on around the league this past week. I can't wait for to the next week to see what it has in store. Trey, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Honestly, I just really like that there's baseball on all the time. Like I
You're
just
just
really like it.
appreciative.
When it just kind of becomes a part of the routine at a certain point for me, but like the beginning of the season's always like, I'm really glad baseball's here because we spent like 6 months without
Yep,
it.
absolutely.
And it's like,
It was
damn,
too
we
long.
were, yeah, it's like when it comes back, it's like, man, how did I do that? Do it without watching baseball every day? How did I live?
Right. What was life before baseball?
That's all I got, though.
Yeah. All right. My final thoughts. All right. You're gonna see this frequently. Just hand up, I'll admit it. When the Nats suck, as they have, as they are, as they do, I kind of venture towards other teams. I need something to root for. And in the past, it was the Blue Jays. My love for the Blue Jays, while I still have enjoyed our time together, that time is coming to a close. My contract's up at the I was gonna say end of the year. I don't know if I'm gonna make it that long. My contract's expiring, so I'm looking for a new team, right? I'm looking at my prospects. and seeing. I don't want to be a bandwagon. I'm not going to like the Dodgers or anything like that. But looking for an up and coming team, and I can tell you right now, arguably at the top of that list is the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I knew it.
The
Yeah,
Pittsburgh
man.
Pirates are so damn fun to watch, and I mean they have why is his name escaping me? Jared Jones, is that his name?
Yeah, Jared Jones. Oh, my
Jared
goodness.
Jones is quickly becoming must-watch TV. Paul Skenes is knocking on the door. I would imagine him being up here at some point, right? That's a dynamite 1-2, right?
Yeah.
And then they have solid arms like Mitch Keller, Marco Gonzalez. Like in a
I mean, it could
weaker
happen.
Central, like I don't know.
You
I don't know, Jim. I'm just saying they're really fun. Obviously, O'Neill Cruz is awesome. Ke'Bryan Hayes made a very rare error against the Nats. That was kind of
did.
crazy
That
to
was
see.
strange.
Yeah, didn't just attribute it to rust. Ryan Reynolds playing really, really well, which is good to see. They need more, certainly, to be a legitimate contender, but there's no reason they can't be an NL Central contender right now.
Yeah, and they are, I mean, entertainment value is high. Let's just say
Very,
that the way that they
very
won
high.
today was pure chaos.
Yeah,
So
so if Henry Davis, now that he's playing catcher every day, not right field, if he can take that step forward, be the 101 that that they drafted him to be, maybe make an acquisition at the deadline. I don't know how their farm system looks beyond guys like Skenes.
Yeah, Tamar Johnson too.
Yeah, Tamar Johnson,
Yeah.
right? So oh my God, I'm imagine
Yeah,
he gets called up.
he's gonna be this
Hayes,
year as well.
Cruz, Johnson, bro. That's such a good infield.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Pirates are much must watch TV. They're not the Pirates that you remember. A lot of teams that were really bad over the past couple of years making strides. Pirates, Tigers, Royals. It's a great time for kind of the
Some of
turn
these
of the
up and coming
page.
teams,
Yeah,
yeah.
turn of the page. Obviously, the Rangers were bad and then they won a World Series. So like
Yeah,
we're in a really good stretch
there's some
of baseball.
turnover.
Yeah,
Yeah.
really good stretch of baseball. It seems like the Diamondbacks will be up there. Obviously, in the World Series last year, they could be up there. Yeah, it's a really good time for baseball, all things considered. So, Pirates on watch, on watch. I don't want, but I also don't want to be the guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm bandwagging the Pirates, and then they immediately go down. I would feel so bad. I would
Well,
feel so bad.
they
So I
did
might just be
play
an admirer.
they did play well in April last year, but it was different. It was like
It feels different
it
this
feels
year.
different because they have Cruz and their young guys are playing well, and Brian Reynolds is playing well. That's a big deal. I think
Big
that's a
deal.
really big deal. So we'll see. I think that it's a little bit more sustainable than last year's early success was.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that does it for this episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Trey does a great job with that. Not just episodes coming out during the week, but shorts, clips, all that good stuff. Be sure to search District Baseball on YouTube, and hit the subscribe button if you're already there watching us on YouTube. We sincerely appreciate it. Follow us on TikTok at District Baseball. Twitter, all of our handles are below. Said it earlier. Reverse, two R's, two S's for Trey, the coach moves for myself and the show at District BSB. We'll be back next week recapping week three of the Major League Baseball season. And in the meantime, let's go baseball.
Let's go baseball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.